Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. Our guest today is Keisha Graves. Keisha is a motivational speaker, the founder of Girls Chronically Rock, and the Massachusetts State Ambassador for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Girls Chronically Rock offers inspired fashion celebrating muscular dystrophy and other chronic illnesses.
Hi, Keisha. Thank you for joining us today. I have to tell you that we kind of stalk you online, and you have a beautiful website.
I wouldn't use the word stalk.
Okay.
Maybe follow.
Follow. Okay, we follow you online, and we love your website.
That is fine. I love it. Thank you guys so much for your support.
Hi, Keisha. This is Ron. First off, I want to thank you for taking out time out of your day to join us today. Can you start out by telling us what exactly muscular dystrophy is? I mean, I understand there are different types, but if you could just tell us and our listeners what it actually is, that'd be great.
Sure. So muscular dystrophy is a form of muscle weakness of like your muscles pretty much deteriorate over time. And it kind of pretty much weakens your whole body. It pretty much affects, I like to tell people, I feel like it affects the whole body. Mm-hmm. And yes, you are right. There are different types of muscular dystrophy. For instance, there is Duchenne muscular dystrophy that mostly seems to affect boys. There's SMA, which is spinal muscular atrophy. And then there's my type, which is limb girdle muscular dystrophy. So my type is, you know, very rare. And then it not only goes into different types, but then once you get your type, it goes into different subtypes. So it's like goes into different variants, which I tell people, I feel like I'm still learning myself. Like for instance, my type, it goes limb girdle muscular dystrophy 2A, there's 2B. But for instance, I'm such a rare type, I do not know my subtype yet. My doctors to this day call me a mystery. We have taken saliva tests, blood work. And so this to this day, I do not know my subtype. And because I don't know my subtype, I will be unable to, say, enter any clinical trials if they were any.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I've heard of some of the types of my students. The biggest one is Duchenne, so I'm more familiar with that. But from, you know, what you said, you have, honestly, that one I've never heard of. Is that more along the lines of where females get that, whereas Duchenne's is more with the males?
Honestly, both male and female actually have the limb girdle muscular dystrophy. But what I did find with the limb girdle is that, because I am part of like different support groups on Facebook, like limb girdle muscular dystrophy, and so many people have like a mirror image story of how they were diagnosed at a later age, like I was in my late 20s.
Okay.
So, you know, it's so interesting. So I'm just like, wow. So I'm noticing that with the limb girdle that a lot of adults, you know, in their early 20s, they're like, oh yeah, that's when I started to get symptoms. And I'm like, that's so weird. So, wow, but yes, with the limb girdle, both male and female.
Okay.
So that makes it extra important for you to get your story out there so people can recognize that, you know, they're going through the same thing. Yeah, that's wonderful.
And
they're talking with us today. Thank you.
And this is an inherited disease. Is there anybody else that you are aware of in your family with muscular dystrophy?
No, that's the thing. I always teach my parents to this day. I'm like, was I switched at birth? I'm like, nobody seems to have it. I'm like, come on. Mom, dad don't have it. Grandma, nobody. And yes, my grandparents, you know, have passed away. My family, both parents come from Barbados. But nobody seems to have it. So everyone thinks it could be like maybe a long distance cousin. But I was told that although like nobody in my family seems to have it, for instance, like, say, mom or dad or grandma could have been a carrier.
Sure.
They could have just been a carrier, but then I happen to be the one to get it. So I'm like, ah, that's interesting. So, but yeah, nobody so far seems to have it in the family, and I hope no one does.
You know? Oh, absolutely.
I believe that, you know, I got on it. You know, maybe I got it for a reason. I was strong enough to handle it, and yeah, but yeah, so just me.
Well, based on your advocacy, I think you are strong enough to handle it. And thank you, Keisha.
Thank you.
We really think that our listeners will have a better understanding of what we're talking about now. So tell us, how did your condition develop?
I'm sure. So yeah, it all started in around like 2009, 2010. I was in my early 20s, actually in graduate school, receiving my master's degree. And I started to get really weird symptoms. Like I would just be walking and my leg would kind of buckle and give out. And I would just, you know, honestly just fall to the floor. But I noticed when I did fall, it wasn't like I was able to hop back up and, oh, yeah, that was just a quick fall. It was like I was like a dead weight. So when I fell, it was like I wasn't able to get myself back up, and it was like one or two people I needed to help me. So the first few times, I'm like, oh, la-di-da, I just need to lose some weight, exercise. No big deal. But it was like the final time, me, my mom, and sister and I, we were at the supermarket, and I'm like pushing the cart. We're leaving. Boom, I fall to the floor. Wow. And my mom and sister couldn't even get me up that day. It was like, I think a stranger had to come over to help me up. And I'm just like, whoa. So my mom was like, you know what? Maybe let's go see an orthopedic. You know, maybe it's something in the feet. So I'm like, okay. We go to Tufts Medical Hospital out here in Boston, Massachusetts. And we, you know, I go to the examine, you know, regular examination appointment. Two doctors come in. They ask me to raise my right leg. The right leg would not extend out like how, like, you know, a normal able-bodied leg would.
Right.
And that was the first time I honestly noticed that. Same with the left. So then both orthopedic doctors looked at each other like, I think you need to see a neurologist. So I'm like, okay, still not really thinking anything of it, you know? So we go to neurologists out here in Cambridge, Mass, where I live, and we go straight through it. Dr. Catherine Wang, I still see her to this day. I love her. And we get all testings done, MRI, EKG, EMG, all these testings I never even heard of. And then the most interesting of all was when I got the muscle biopsy, and I was totally awake for that. So they took the muscle out of my right leg to test it, and then that muscle biopsy, that's when they determined. They was like, Keisha, you have muscular dystrophy. I always remember that phone call, and that was the day I felt like my life changed.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
That's a lot to take in at
20.
Yeah, I'm trying not to cry here.
We do have a box of tissues, so you hear sniffling.
Let's get ready to ask my next question, and then you just came out with that, and yeah, it kind of puts everything on hold for a second. Earlier, you had mentioned that there are different types of muscular dystrophy, but in general, for that disease, how common is muscular dystrophy, no matter the type?
I will say now that I am aware of it, I kind of feel like I am learning more and more about it and finding more people. They're like, oh my God, yeah, I have it. And I'm like, wow. Because like I tell people, the day that doctor called me, I'm like, what is muscular dystrophy? I never heard of it. And as you guys know, I feel like more awareness goes around like multiple sclerosis.
Right.
So I was thinking that was what it was. So I never heard of muscular dystrophy. But now I am like now a part of this community, like, you know, MDA Association and like, you know, a social media platform. It's like so many's out there. And it just made me feel good because I'm like, I'm not alone. You know, there's others out there. So I kind of find like it is more common. And now that I have it, I now brought the awareness, you know, to both my family and friends. Because, you know, we never heard of this before. Nobody really had a disability in our family. So it's like it opened up like all of our eyes and seeing the world like in a whole new perspective.
Now, I'm going to go off script here a little bit. Wasn't muscular dystrophy what Jerry Lewis did his telethon every year? Yeah.
Yes, it was him. Yep, he did that.
Okay,
year,
now see, that's the type of.
Unfortunately, he passed away.
Yes, he did.
So this year they have Kevin Hart.
Right, but that's the type of influence and impact that a celebrity can do for a disease.
Right.
To bring research dollars and to bring awareness. I mean, in the back of my, I have early onset Alzheimer's, but I still remember the Jerry Lewis telethon every year.
Right.
And Muscular Dystrophy Association. And I think that we need more celebrities to do things like that to bring awareness and the research dollars specifically.
Right.
I agree.
You know, one thing, though, and again, I'm going to go back to this because I have this where I work, that there are different types. And some are, I'm going to put it this way, less severe than others.
Okay.
Because, again, the Duchenne is probably, I'm going to say, probably the most severe one out there, which impacts somebody's lifespan. And I've unfortunately had students who've passed away early on with the Duchenne's. And then with some of the other ones, they live a much longer life. So even though it's one big disease, depending on which type and what have you, it can really impact your life differently.
Sure, sure. Well, I'm sure that's true with anything, but that obviously they've got a range.
Yeah.
So Keisha, since you're very, very involved in the association, do you know what studies are going on right now to try to find a cure or improve the lives of people with muscular dystrophy?
I believe there are some, according to some of the support groups that I'm a part of. I really don't know to this day how they are chosen to be a part of a clinical trial. I don't know if it's based on the doctor or who you may know, but I know some people that have done some clinical trials and they have seemed to get some good results. Not like to say like they're up and running now and walking much faster, but I think it's still a work in progress for the limb girdle muscular dystrophy. And as I mentioned earlier, because I don't know my subtype, I'm unable to enter clinical trials. And I just found that out probably last year was a limb girdle muscular dystrophy conference in Chicago. And so I was talking to some doctors there and I'm like the type, I don't mind being a guinea pig. I'm like, oh yeah, let's try it, you know, because if you don't know, how you know until we're going to find a cure?
Right.
And they're like, Keisha, we can't do that. They're like, we can't enter you in any clinical trials without your subtype. They were like, you can possibly grow a third eye.
Wow.
And I thought that was funny. It was like funny, but not funny.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I was thinking just a tummy ache or something, you know, because I have a high tolerance for pain.
Okay.
Like I fall, you know, I fall a lot. Like I have a very high tolerance. I don't mind getting like my blood work done, whatever. So I was like, whoa, we'll hold third eye.
Right.
So I was like, we'll see. This is why I'm not a doctor.
Right, right. Understood. Understood.
Well, kind of speaking to that, but you do have your master's degree, and I was wondering, how has muscular dystrophy affected your life, and have you been able to parlay or utilize your degree as a part of your advocacy? And I also understand you, well, we do stalk you online, so we do know that you have a wonderful...
We follow her. We don't stalk her.
We follow her online. She has a wonderful business, and have you been able to utilize... how did it come about? How did your business come about, and how did that progress?
Sure. So, yeah, just a little background, you know, so I always had a passion for fashion. I actually got my undergraduate degree in fashion design and merchandising from Framingham State University. So, you know, of course, I was in school then, you know, walking up and down the stairs, nothing, not a little word, never heard muscular dystrophy. Mm-hmm. But then graduate school, that's when it all came about. So, of course, when I got that phone call that day from the doctor, my whole life changed, you know, because then I started to Google research, you know, and then you're not reading such great things. As you mentioned, I'm reading about the Duchenne muscular dystrophy and, you know, the lifespan. And I'm just like, where does my future hold? What is going mm-hmm. to happen? Mm-hmm. Here I was in my early 20s working merchandising at the time at Macy's, going to school. So I'm just like, you know, am I going to be able to pursue my dreams? What is going to happen? So I totally shut down. I was in denial. I wasn't really telling family and friends. When friends asked me to go out, you know, I wouldn't go out because I'm just trying to process this all. I just got the news. I have muscular dystrophy. What is that? So, you know, it definitely took some time to get used to. I started blogging. And once I started blogging, that kind of opened the doors a little bit, I might say, like, you know, not 100%, but kind of opened them. And I started to realize, you know, maybe I'm a true believer in things happen for a reason. So, you know, I'm like, maybe now this is my journey, you know, being diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. I can now use this platform, the knowledge that I have, you know, with my fashion skills, business skills, to kind of bring that advocacy, you know, about muscular dystrophy and kind of bring that away through fashion. Because now, you know, I'm creating an adaptive swimwear clothing collection. So I kind
That's
of
great.
Feels like it all kind of aligned. And yes, maybe then I may not have known why, you know, why was I diagnosed with this? What is happening? And, you know, but I kind of feel like it all worked out. And, you know, especially for me to be involved with the MDA, if you had asked me that a few years back, I'll be like, no way, you know, because I'll be like, why would I be? I don't have muscular dystrophy. That's how much
right.
my mindset was. Even going on job interviews when I was wearing a cane, I would tell them I sprained my ankle or I was in a car accident.
Right.
So that's to tell you how much my mindset, I was like totally not even accepting muscular dystrophy because it's like me saying it out loud, it just seems too real. So yeah, I kind of feel like with all the knowledge and skills that I, you know, learned from Framingham and Cambridge College for my MBA, you know, now I can bring that, you know, through and express that through my line and my feelings through my journey of through Girls Chronically Rock.
Right.
So yes, I definitely feel like I was able to bring all of that, you know, through my line to this day. And I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Oh, well, you're
Good
doing
you.
It.
Yeah.
You're doing it. And I have heard that recently they're talking more and more about individuals diagnosed with a chronic illness actually going through the whole grieving process. And like, it's
yeah.
that, you know, like you first you deny it and you go through all those stages. So it sounds like you went through the whole gamut.
Right. But using fashion yeah. as a tool to complete her life and
help others
and help yeah. others is a wonderful, wonderful
I think I'm going to be passing on your website to my students and their families.
Yeah. Oh,
because,
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Not just MD. I mean, for any debilitating disease or any illness out there where you can't use your digits or difficulty using, you know, the big or small muscles. Mm-hmm. Any type of adaptive clothing is fantastic. So, yeah, well, I'll be passing that on as well.
thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lita and I are both rec therapists, so we are big into play and...
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. But speaking of that, what do you do for yourself in your everyday life? That
helps you overcome.
Sure. So I mean, like I tell people, I'm like, yes, people may see me happy and doing all these things, but I am totally honest with people. I'm like, I still have my days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's days I wake up where I'm like, I don't know what the body's gonna feel like, if I'm gonna be able to get out of bed, if when I'm transferring from my wheelchair to the toilet, if I'm gonna have a fall, because that happens.
Right.
You know, that's something that's so unexpected. I can't say, oh wait, fall, like, wait till I sit down before you want to, you know, collapse my body. But it's like, thankfully, I do wear my lifeline button 24/7. So when I do hit that, I do have the EMTs that will come and help me up. So I totally still have my days. But I feel like, for me, when people ask me this question, I feel like, A, of course, like, focusing on my business, Girls Currently Rocking, getting featured on wonderful podcasts like yours, and you guys want to share my story, that makes me feel so good. And people don't get that one, you know, because sometimes you can doubt yourself. So when I get, like, messages like, oh, I want to, like, have you featured on my podcast, so I love what you're doing, and I'm like, oh, like, that makes me feel good, and that just makes me motivated to keep going and keep striving, because I'm like, I'm doing this not just for me, but for everybody out there in the disability community. And also, I tell people, honestly, I'm a TV fanatic. I love watching TV. I'm like, my TV keeps me sane. I watch reality shows such as, like, Atlanta, Jersey Shore. I love Wendy Williams. So I'm like, just knowing, like, for instance, if I had a bad day and I had a fall, you know, sometimes my body could feel ache and I'm tired. But knowing, like, I have my business, Girls Chronically Rock, or a TV show, Reality Foolishness, to watch, like, that keeps me sane. Like, it just kind of keeps me, like, entertained, knowing, like, all right, I have this to look forward to, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely,
sure. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely does. Keisha, what role have your family and friends played in your healthcare journey?
I'm sure. So they have definitely been with me, you know, through day one, especially my mom coming with me to all my doctor's appointments, all the MRI, EKG, muscle biopsy, you know. So she's like, you know, my day one. And then I have my sister. My family is like my number one supporter. You know, I have some friends too, but the family is number one, especially when there's some days where, you know, the personal care attendant, you know, doesn't want to show up. You know, those can be very reliable. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. That's like a whole episode in itself.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah. So, you know, once they don't show up, it's like, I know I can always count on my family. And I'm so just so glad, because, like I said, we kind of all learned this journey together about me being diagnosed. It's like, now my both family and friends are aware, like, even going out to restaurants, they know now. They call in advance, like, oh, yes, Keisha, we call them, like, the place is wheelchair accessible. Like, you know, it doesn't have stairs. It has an elevator. I called them and said, you know, we need an open table. Same thing with traveling. You know, I have to make sure it's a wheelchair accessible room. And, you know, just for me doing that, they, you know, opened up their eyes. So it's like, now they take it upon themselves and, you know, call ahead to me. And I appreciate that. And I'm just like, you know, because we're all kind of learning together. It's kind of like open all our eyes. And especially me, because I'm like, for the things I feel like I took for granted before, because I tell people, I feel like I kind of live both lives. As an able-bodied person, you know, I was growing up playing softball, walking up and down the stairs. I was driving. And then now it's like, you know, I'm a part of this awesome disability community. So it's like, now I can kind of see both worlds, if that makes
sense.
Yeah. One quick question. Did you have to, or have you made any changes to your home to make it more accessible?
So at the time when I was diagnosed, I was living with my mom, still in Cambridge, but where we lived in a condo, it had stairs. No elevator, no nothing. But that was all, you know, pre-diagnosis, very, like, early on. But as time went on, it became very, very difficult. I'm like, I can't do this, especially when it started to snow outside. Like, it was like, dang, I wouldn't even leave the house. Because I'm like, I was just trying to avoid walking up and down the stairs. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. So thankfully, you know, I was on the waiting list for the apartment I am now. It's called JFK Apartments. And they are a lot of, like, older people in the building. I'm probably like the youngest person in here, and it's still in Cambridge, which I'm happy. But I was so happy to get that call, because this place, this building, is totally accessible. Okay. It has elevators. My apartment is accessible, wheelchair accessible. I can just wheel right in, walk right in to use the shower and everything. So I am just so grateful. It was just like a weight was lifted off my shoulder when I moved in here. It was 2015. Because I'm just like, I feel free. Like, I don't have to worry about walking up and down the stairs. And, you know, it's like I have an elevator. And, yes, of course, I still have my challenges. Like I say, I still go through things regardless of what apartment I'm in. But, yes, where I'm at now is totally accessible. And I love it.
That's good. Really good. Great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. To give you your independence and to let you feel let you feel whole again based on the accommodations that they're making. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Glad to
I wish that was available to everyone.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's what I do in my job now with my students is find the accessible housing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So I'm really glad to hear
awesome.
That. Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully builders
that
in the future.
That is awesome because it's like people need it. People don't get it, like, how important that is. If we don't have that accessibility, how are we supposed to enjoy our life, just, you know, be free?
The unfortunate part is supply and demand. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of demand for it, and there's not a lot of supply for it. So,
well, and luckily, the ADA created a
guidebook?
Yes, basically a guide so that people can use that and formulate what they would need to do to change their housing.
Right, and I think more people, when they're remodeling, it seems like a lot of people want to remodel their homes after this pandemic because they're realizing that their homes are used in a different way. A lot of people are leaning towards universal design.
Mm-hmm.
Because even, like, as you age, you know, little adaptions can make a big difference.
Sure.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, glad to hear that you are in a place.
I know that.
Yeah.
Ron,
we're going to call Ron the interrupter.
The interrupter. I hear a pause and I want to jump in, and as soon as I start to talk, I cut somebody off.
Yeah,
so.
I just don't know what. You'll have to help us design a super suit for him.
Yes.
Because I don't know if that would be with the cape or without, but yeah.
She gave me the look like, you did it again. So my apologies.
Well, Keisha, I'm curious, what's the best advice that you've received for coping with a rare disease? And what advice do you have or do you give to someone who's been recently diagnosed with a rare disease?
My advice to somebody, and like I always say, everybody deals with things differently. Like, there have been so many people I've come across where they have just been diagnosed, say, today. And by Monday, they're like, you know, starting a YouTube channel. You know, they're like, I've been diagnosed with this. I want to connect with you guys. And I find that so inspiring, because I'm like, wow, that surely was not me. So I'm just like, you know, I kind of feel like we all deal with things differently. Like I mentioned, for me, I feel like I just came out of denial like the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it definitely took some time to get used to, but I would say definitely connecting with others, like in the disability community or regardless of what you're going through. And thank goodness for social media today, because that's what helped me. You know, going on Instagram, I would use hashtag disability awareness, hashtag chronic illness, hashtag muscular dystrophy. And that just kind of brought me a whole new range of people and just made me feel good, like, wow, I'm not alone. Look at her. She has muscular dystrophy. She's into fashion. She's doing her thing. So that definitely was inspired and kind of, you know, let me come out of my shell a little bit. So, excuse me, I just feel like definitely connecting with other people helps. Because like I tell people, yes, I get the support of family and friends and I love them. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get it. They don't know what it's like walking in, you know, my legs with muscular dystrophy and that fatigue of just even when I get off from the shower, I feel like I just finished running the Boston Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they don't get it. But the people that I connect with that have a disability, especially that have muscular dystrophy, they get it. So it feels so good to talk to them like, hey, like, you know, have you ever had this problem after you fall? Like, does your body feel like this? Or what do you do to do your transfer? You know, because it's like they get it. So I'm so grateful for the community that I have, because at the end of the day, they're the only people that get it. So I definitely would recommend, you know, reaching out to others and using the hashtags. Like I mentioned, you know, especially about if it's, you want to specify what a specific disability / chronic illness you may have. And then, you know, you'll be surprised of like, there's so many other people out there like yourself. And then it will kind of make you feel, you know, a little bit more at ease. Like you're not alone. And then you can kind of talk to them and relate to them because they get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For
sure. Great that there's a support network out
there. Absolutely. Yeah. Keisha, how can our listeners learn more about you and, muscular dystrophy? And I know you mentioned your business a little earlier, but do you have any social media accounts that you would like to share with us?
Yes, I do. So you can definitely follow me on, you can definitely check out my website, subscribe to girlschronicallyrock.com. I am also on Instagram, girlschronically/rock. And then I recently Another thing I wanted to share is just last month, December, I can't believe the time is flying, I recently opened a nonprofit called GCR Adaptive Project. GCR, abbreviated for Girls Chronically Rock, I like to call it a little spinoff. With this project, I am collaborating with the university I graduated from, Framingham State, and I am teaching, involving the students on the importance of adaptive fashion, because I feel like that is so
nice.
Important. Yeah, because I'm just like, you know, in school, I didn't learn that. But then again, it's like, why would I? Because I didn't have, you know, the sense like, oh, yeah, adaptive fashion. I felt like now it's becoming more awareness. And, you know, I didn't have a disability then. So it's like, you know, that wasn't really taught in school. So I'm like, I feel like it's so important for these students to learn that, because they say by, like, the next few years, like, the adaptive fashion industry is going to be like a $47 billion, you know, industry. And I'm like, you know, like, the designer is now a Tommy Hilfiger Target. Mm-hmm. Dapples now has this adaptive line. And I'm like, that is so absolutely awesome, because I looked up to Tommy Hilfiger growing up as a fashion designer going to school. So when I see him create that line, I'm like, oh, that like melted my heart. So yeah, so that project, the website is not up yet, but I do have a Instagram page, GCR Adaptive Project, where I post, you know, some of the students, you know, work that they did. And this last semester was awesome. Some students creating an adaptive swimwear line, some created dresses, pants, and I was just so impressed. So I am looking to get more universities involved, like FIT, any school that has a fashion department, I feel like would be a great collaboration.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
That's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
see, I told you guys, she's a mover and a shaker.
Yeah, yeah.
I love her vigor with all of this. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, you are you are totally an inspiration.
Right.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we're going to make sure that we put links for those on our website. And thank you so much for joining us today, Keisha.
Yes, and thank you guys. And yes, please make sure to tell people to subscribe, because I do have an adaptive swimwear collection that will be launching, I'm hoping, by April of this year, 2021. And I'm so excited about it, because people think, oh, swimwear, isn't that just seasonal? And it's like, no, no, no. I'm like, people like myself, even pre-pandemic, I was going to aquatic therapy twice a week. So oh, I missed it. I'm like, when I am in the water, I am like a mermaid. I can do things in the water that I can't do on land. So I tell people, I'm like, that's the best exercise for, you know, people that have a muscle disease. And so I'm just like, to have a more accessible, more functional bathing suit will be just so much easier. Because as you guys know, coming out of a swimsuit or beach for just an able-bodied person, that bathing suit, how that just sucks to your body.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's just a struggle to take off. Right. So imagine someone like myself with, you know, has little balance, trying to hold onto the wheelchair. I'm like, oh, my goodness, let me just make it through this day. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. And, yeah, so please stay tuned.
Oh. I'm making a mental list of everyone that I know.
That needs one. Yes, yes.
Because, and I know so many people that love, you know, a heated therapy pool is a lifesaver. And, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us, Keisha.
Thank you for having me.
I think we learned a lot, and I'm certain that our listeners also learned a lot, and we look forward to hearing more from you.
And we're going to continue to stalk you. We also stalk...
We're not stalking. Please stop.
Tommy Hilfiger. We've stalked Tommy Hilfiger for a long time since he started his adaptive line as well. But yeah, I know, I told them, I was like, we have kind of a celebrity on today, guys.
Just
keep cool.
Oh,
and another reason you don't say stalk.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's right. That's
okay,
right.
Sorry. Follow.
Yes,
We're admirers of your work.
Yes, we are.
I think you are an inspiration.
I admire you guys, too. So I appreciate you guys having me on. And yeah, hopefully I'll get to come back on again. And definitely let's stay in touch.
Absolutely.
Yep. So if
sounds good.
Thank you.
So if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram. But please don't stalk us.
Okay. Don't stalk us. It's okay.
Follow us. Don't stalk us. And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.